The election's over. The debates, not so much.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM, I'm Jeff Horwich with our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, two dueling economists set the new bipartisan tone. But first, how's Wall Street taking it? Yeah, investors perhaps not crazy about the prospects for more gridlock. I don't know. The Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500 are all down about 1.25%. The Dow at this hour is down 171 points to 13,075. With both Mitt Romney and President Obama calling for bipartisanship, we thought we'd see if two economists with differing views could help us chart the course ahead. Jared Bernstein is former chief economist for Vice President Joe Biden. Now he is a senior fellow at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
And John Cochran is a Romney advisor, was a Romney advisor, and is a professor of finance at the Booth School of Business at the University of Chicago. John, welcome to Marketplace.
Good morning.
This election was about two very different sets of economic beliefs about growth. And John Cochran, I'll start with you. What would you like to see this next Congress and administration take to heart from the Romney message?
Well, I don't think they're going to. You know, the situation we have now is a Democratic president who thinks the Congress is a bunch of Neanderthals. We have a Republican Congress who thinks the president is a socialist. So I can give all the advice I want, but no one's listening to me. They're going to be fighting it out for 4 years.
Blue sky it for me. If you had your druthers, you know, what should they learn from the Republican message on growth?
Oh, if I had my druthers, they would listen to the important economic messages, which is that the regulations they're imposing are going to really slow down the economy, that the tax chaos is something we need to fix. We need to put in the tax reform that Bull Simpson had in mind that was on the table last summer, get the economy growing again. Not much chance of any of that happening.
Jared Bernstein, how do you see the path to growth? And do you hear anything in there that you think could be grounds for compromise?
I do hear some grounds for compromise. And I think one of the things that I very much hope comes out of the election is some coming together around some common ideas. John's right that supply side kind of trickle down tax economics, I think, was pretty soundly rejected. Governor Romney ran on a big tax cut across the board that was tilted towards high-end folks. And it really didn't get him anywhere. And so I agree that we're not going to see that. But putting that aside, I think there's room for compromise.
Let's talk near term now. I want to hear from each of you your ideal way, in a nutshell, to see us veer away from the fiscal cliff. And Jared, let's start with you.
Look, these guys agree on 98% of the tax changes that should occur to avoid the fiscal cliff. Democrats, president, believe that the upper income tax cuts, which affect the top 2% of households, that part should expire. So if they can figure out a way to compromise, a lot of other stuff falls into place and we can avoid the cliff.
John? John, go ahead.
They may agree on some of that stuff, but I would not look towards them doing so. What I expect to happen is the same thing that's happened for the last couple of years, that we're going to have no budget. Then we're going to have every year in the middle of the night in January a big crisis that then gets resolved with a bunch of one-year extensions of this, that, and the other thing, and then we all come back in chaos again the next year.
Well, that's what you think is going to happen. I kind of want to hear what you think should happen, but it sounds like has your every hope been crushed by the outcome here? what should they do, John?
No, I would love them to get together, sing Kumbaya, and more importantly than the rates, which are in the headlines, we have a chaos of a tax code. I mean, reforming the tax code is much more important than the rates that we're talking about. No way is that going to happen.
Hey, look, the problem is that what John and I see as complexities that should be stripped from the code, somebody else sees as their critically important job creation protection. I do believe that the president and the Senate Democrats have run quite strongly on this issue of allowing the high-end Bush tax cuts to expire. Now, over 10 years, that raises $1 trillion for deficit reduction.
But if I could, our deficits are $1 trillion a year. You just gave me $1 trillion over 10 years, which is kind of a dream number. So that's like an eyedropper in Lake Michigan compared to the deficit.
No, I disagree. I disagree. In fact, if you look at the accounting here, if we can reduce the 10-year budget deficit, cumulative deficit, by $4 trillion, we stabilize the debt as a share of GDP. And that's a bit of a holy grail in terms of fiscal rectitude, at least in the near term.
I want to talk healthcare reform in the limited time that we have here. On both sides, people will tell you it's not done. John, what do you think should be the next step in terms of particularly cost containment, which is the big, big issue?
Oh, yeah. Cost containment comes the same way, you know, Southwest Airlines reduced costs for air travel. You free up the market and you let supply competition happen. That's not happening. We're going to try cost containment one more time with price controls and regulations and so forth, and then costs are going to explode and they're going to end up rationing stuff.
And Jared Bernstein, what do you hope is next for healthcare reform, especially cost containment, which is the big, big issue?
Implementation of the Affordable Care Act is going to be a huge part of the president's second term agenda. That's going to lead to more coverage to people. And if it's successful, I don't know the answer to that yet, neither does John or anyone else, but if it's successful, it will slow down this pressure of healthcare costs. If it's unsuccessful, as John suspects, then it's definitely back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I think we can agree that that is going to be the big story. The big changes are not going to come out of Congress. It's going to be out of these implementation things. And then either we get to your kind of nirvana or we get to Greece, and we'll see which happens.
John Cochran is a professor of finance at the Booth School of Business, the University of Chicago, blogs at The Grumpy Economist. John, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
And Jared Bernstein is a senior fellow at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. His blog called On the Economy is at jaredbernsteinblog.com. Jared, thanks.
My pleasure.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
As we enter this grand new age of bipartisanship, the media consultant Engage has been cross-referencing people's political tastes with their tastes for various other things, all derived from data on Facebook. For example, liberals prefer Chipotle, conservatives like Outback Steakhouse. Liberals like Red Bull, conservatives like Campbell's Soup, conservatives like Dancing with the Stars. Liberals, this is interesting, prefer So You Think You Can Dance. Some things we can all agree on: Snickers bars, Seinfeld, and Lord of the Rings. I'm Jeff Horwich. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.